Bedtime in the Nether. Episode 9. The Quiet Place at the Bottom of the Lava Sea. Tonight we go deeper than any story has gone yet. The middle of this one is a little bit spooky, the good kind of spooky, like the hallway before a surprise party. And the end is the calmest place in the whole Nether. We'll get there together. Deep breath in and out. Down we go. There is a place at the bottom of the lava sea that even the maps don't know about. Even Mero's map, the glowing one, at the very center of it there's just a small empty circle, as if the old architect's hand had paused there and respected something and moved on. Only the Strider knows the place is there. He feels it through his feet, far out in the deep middle, where the song in the bedrock is strongest. The ghasts know it's there. Their tears have been landing above it for 1,000 years, and the tears always sink in the same slow spiral, like water finding a drain made of gold. And the lava itself? The lava doesn't say. The lava just keeps, and keeps, and keeps, and everything it keeps goes down. So tonight, follow a single ghast tear, you and me. We're small enough, in a story. Down through the bright top layer, where the lava glows like the inside of a sunset, and dozing magma cubes press against the shore. Down through the middle waters, can we call them waters? We'll call them waters, where it's quieter, and thicker, and the gold turns to deep amber, like honey in a jar in a dim kitchen. There are shapes down here. Old shapes, drifting slow. Don't worry. They're not creatures. They're memories, whole flocks of them, schools of them, names and songs and afternoons, all swimming patiently the way fish swim in the dark. One of them brushes past us. It feels like remembering a birthday that isn't yours. Down further. And now it gets dark, yes, dark, at the bottom of all that glow, the way the very middle of a campfire log is dark. The song in the bedrock is loud here, except loud is the wrong word. It's everywhere, is what it is. It hums in our edges. The tear we're following falls slower and slower, like a feather deciding. And then the bottom. And the quiet place. It's a room. Not a built room, a kept room, a hollow in the bedrock smoothed by 10,000 years of song, about the size of a library and the shape of a held breath. The walls glow, very faintly, with everything stored in them. And the whole floor, the whole wide floor, is covered in rows and rows of resting things, every name the piglins ever lost, lying side by side like coins in a collection, each one polished, each one waiting. Every tear, set carefully in its place. Every walking song, coiled up neat as rope. Nothing is jumbled. Nothing is dusty. Somebody has been tending all of it. And there, in the middle of the room, is the somebody. I won't pretend you can see them clearly, because you can't. Even the story can't, quite. They are very old, and very large, and very still, something like a Strider, if a Strider were made of the same stuff as the song, and something like a grandmother, if a grandmother were also a place. The piglins, long ago, before the forgetting, had a name for them. The name is here, in this room, resting in the front row, kept just as carefully as all the others. They keep their own name and wear none, because that's what keepers do. We can call them the listener. The story always has. The listener has been here since before the Striders. When the bedrock sang, this is who it sang to. And when the forgetting came, and the whole world above began to drop what it loved, the listener simply held out their hands, branches, shores, whatever they are, and caught, and sorted, and kept, and listened, and has not stopped listening for one single moment in 1,000 years. Pip's question passed through here. So did Will's almost song. So did the hum of the old portal, and the warm glow of Marrow's 3 drops of ink, calling home like a child's voice down a long hallway. The tear we followed lands at last, soft as a snowflake, in the listener's open hand. And the listener does what they have done 1 billion times, lifts it, listens to it. This one holds a piglin guard, ears down, glad it was somebody, and sets it gently in its place in the rose. But then, tonight, the listener does something new. Something they have been waiting all 9 of our stories to do, and 1,000 years before that. They pick up one of the names. They hold it a moment, feeling its warmth, the way you'd test a coat to see if it's dry. And they look up, through all the amber, through all the gold, all the way up to the world, and they say, in a voice like the bedrock song slowed down to words. *Ready. This one's ready to go back. What happens when a name goes home? Tomorrow night, we find out, in a cold pocket, in the wastes, where somebody who forgot themselves is about to have 1 warm second. But that's tomorrow. Tonight, you're in the calmest place in the world, and somebody very old and very kind is keeping every single thing that matters, including this whole day of yours. Hand it over. There. It's in the rose now. Safe as a name. Good night.